to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Radio. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, where we focus on the impact of local, state, national, and even global issues on the health of the individuals, families, and communities in the Central Catskill region. I've shared on this program that I'm chair of the board of Catskills Pathways to Recovery that aims to help our communities to prevent substance use disorder and addiction, improve access to treatment services, and support people in recovery, all with a harm reduction approach that's evidence-based. There is research on this. Until recently, Jason Tompkins served as our project director and CERPA, Certified Recovery Peer Advocate, under a grant contract that we had with Reach Medical based in Ithaca. He now works full-time with Samadhi, which we'll talk about what that is, and will be bringing services to Delaware County via a mobile van. He is a CERPA with Samadhi. Jason, welcome back to Health Cetera in the Catskills. It's great to be talking with you.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Diana.
Let's just tell people a little bit about Samadhi and why it's so special.
Yeah, so I've been working with Samadhi for, I'd say, 3.5 years now. I was part-time CERPA, Certified Recovery Peer Advocate for them, and I feel they just do amazing work. I suppose my dream would be to have, like, a sister building somewhere in Delaware County where they could provide services more here, Delaware County-based, and hopefully that will be in the future. I know there's talks of it. It's going to take some work, but that would be ideal for everyone.
And one of the things, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to state that, you know, it's quite a large, it's grown very quickly. So there's three buildings right now. We have what's called Refuge, which is recovery housing. I think it holds 34 people, and they all have they share kitchen space. They have their own bathrooms and their own rooms. And it sort of works as a temporary housing as an alternative to where DSS would place you. Instead of being in a motel maybe or a homeless shelter, they refer people to us and we house them in a temporary housing sometimes it can be up to a year, but the plan is to find what works for that person and refer them out to a longer approach. Some people it's apartments, some people it's recovery centers, and some people it's just trying to, take one step at a time to try to get their life in order by having stable housing.
Yeah, that's been a huge issue here. I know for Catskills Pathways to Recover, we've talked about there's such a need up here. So Samadhi's based in Kingston primarily, and that's where it started. But for up in the Delaware County, Northwestern, Ulster County, there is no recovery housing in our part of the state.
That's so true.
Yeah.
And much needed, So I really do have high hopes.
Yeah.
There is two other buildings, so these are all separate buildings. The Refuge Recovery Housing is actually in Socrates, and then in Kingston is the other two buildings, which is Outreach Center. So it's pretty much street outreach where we go out in the street and help people in need, whether it's socks or blankets or warm clothes or SUD preventative measures like naloxone.
SUD being substance use disorder.
Yes, thank you for clarifying. Not everyone knows that. Yes, exactly. It is an epidemic, as we all know, and Samadhi is really trying to do everything they can. The other building they have is the outpatient building where there is, I think, 3 or 4 KSACs.
What is a KSAC?
KSAC, that's a long abbreviation, but it's a drug and alcohol counselor.
Uh-huh.
So it's more of a clinical setting, whereas CERPA is non-clinical, so we provide one-on-one support, act as a cheerleader, provide referrals, things like that. A KSAC is more one-on-one clinical setting where they can actually refer you right there to someone who could provide you with medicine or whatever your needs might be.
Now, the other thing that has impressed me with Samadhi is, and this was brought by the founder, David McNamara, is that they take a mindfulness approach. I mean, he comes out of Buddhism, Zen yes. Buddhism. And so every employee there is trained in mindfulness practices, and they invite the clients to also engage in mindfulness practice. Is that true?
It is, and it's remarkable, really. It's like, you know, with CPR, Catskills Pathways to Recovery, we acknowledge one of the biggest things is that there's no one way to recovery, so the paths are many.
Yeah.
It's not one size fits all. So that's kind of what's amazing. We also take a person-centered approach. So knowing that each person is different, we sit down and we listen to them, and hopefully they open up. Sometimes it takes time to build trust, but once they do, we allow them to come up with their own personalized treatment plan so that it benefits them, the person, not the organization as a whole, and not people struggling as a whole, but that certain, you know, person-centered approach. It's crucial.
And
because everyone's different.
I remember you sharing that when you had the Reach Medical Grant, and again, your Samadhi had part of you for that work, and we had part of you for that work. But one example of what you were doing were taking people who really needed to be in an affordable sort of controlled setting, actually inviting them to go to a place up near Albany. I believe the Salvation Army ran it, or someone.
Oh, okay. I know what you're speaking of. The Syracuse Salvation Army,
Syracuse.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
You knew about this. You knew about this. You provided it as an option, but it was up for the person to determine that you were coaching to determine whether this was right for them. Is that right?
That is right, because it isn't for everyone. I've actually had a few people who have gone there. I have one person who's there for 2 years now because they choose to be.
Wow.
Because not only do they help you, you know, focus on healing, but they actually help in many ways, like getting you a license or at least a non-driver's ID, making sure if you didn't have health insurance, you'd do while you're there. Setting you up with doctors that they work with. So it's like, they really focus on the person. And so this person has been doing really well to the point where he's graduated, and now he's a full-time employee there.
That's awesome. That's really great.
It really is an amazing program. But at the same time, it's not for everyone, right? Because everyone's different.
Yeah.
So some people have gone and felt they needed more of a medication-type approach, which... Mm-hmm. They don't do there. That's the one thing that's a little bit tough for some people.
Yeah.
They don't provide MAT, medication-assisted treatment. Mm-hmm. So other people's, it doesn't really work for, and I refer them elsewhere, which there's plenty of them around us. Mm. But it really is amazing to see that difference, you know?
Yeah.
What works for some doesn't work for others.
Now, we sort of jumped ahead here. We really should start about talking about where we're at with the issues of addiction in Delaware, Ulster County. So are we making headway, Jason?
We are. I'm sorry I jumped us ahead a little bit there.
No, that's all right. I'm the one that put us there.
That's okay. I do feel we're making progress in the substance use disorder community. As more people receive help, whether it's through referrals to medicine, one-on-one CERPA work, so non-clinical CERPA work, motivational work, or CASE Act counseling, or even housing, they start to share the resources with friends and acquaintances who might be struggling, and that word really spreads, and other people realize, well, there is help. So a lot of people who don't have any idea of CERPA work or any of these organizations providing support, you know, they begin to see that it is working for someone they might know, and the word kind of spreads. Uh-huh. So I do feel we're making headway.
But where are we at with the number of people who are suffering from addiction or who overdoses?
That is a tough one to determine. It seems like it takes a year after the year ends to get that data. It is a tough one to navigate. The numbers speak clearly, and it's an epidemic. It hasn't really slowed down. And I don't know if that's because more people are just coming out or other people are hiding their addiction, because of stigma. It's a real thing that really affects people. I know a few pregnant people that, you know, went to get help, and once they mentioned their addiction, it just turned into a giant stigma nightmare for them.
Yeah.
With talks of not helping them because they're pregnant. And we know that's not true. We know that different medicines can be beneficial to both the person and the baby.
Yeah.
So there is a giant stigma that prevents a lot of people from reaching out and asking for help.
Yeah.
So I think, I wish I could give you direct numbers, but there is a large amount of people still suffering from this disease.
Yeah. And most people, I think, when we talk about addiction, think about heroin or oxycodone, OxyContin, as the major drugs that we're talking about. But that's starting to change, right?
It is. It is. And it's kind of been a slowly but surely thing. I still see a large people using heroin. But at the same time, I've spoke to a few of them. And what they say is that methamphetamine or meth is cheaper and it lasts longer. And there is no physical side effects. So it's not like you have the flu when you don't have your drug. It's more of a mental withdrawal.
Really?
So being a, yeah. And that's the allure, I guess, for a lot of people. The difference being is it's an upper, whereas heroin is a downer. So it, like, either really motivates you or over-motivates you to just go and not sleep.
Hmm.
But yeah, that's growing very fast. And so is heroin. But what we're seeing with that is it's being cut with multiple things. The one I know right now that I've seen personally is xylazine, which is a horse tranquilizer. It is, I don't know why they put it in there, but it causes horrible effects. It causes unhealable abscesses in a person's, it could be anywhere on their body, but it doesn't heal even with intravenous antibiotics. And a lot of times people don't choose to go for help. They're just scared to go to the hospital for whatever reason. Mm. And it can actually cause endocarditis and inflammation of the heart. Mm-hmm. So that one is very deadly. We've even seen people lose limbs from it, from not getting help.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and my understanding is it is just proliferating across the country.
It is. And the only thing that makes sense is that it must be cheaper to cut it with that in comparison to fentanyl, which is also cheap. That's the other one that's tearing through the communities everywhere. And, you know, the tiniest amount, it's like the head of a pencil tip, not the eraser, but the other part. That amount can kill someone. So if the person doesn't take a moment, we do give out xylazine test strips. So they can test and see if that's in their drug, or fentanyl test strips. And some people use them, others don't. Because when you're going through withdrawal and you're sick, that's the last thing on your mind. You just want to feel better. So they do the drug and a lot of times overdose.
Yeah. So what do we need to do to make more progress on preventing substance use disorder and getting people into treatment?
That is a good question. I feel more funding, and I know New York State's doing a lot in this regard. They're, you know, coming up with more and more avenues, especially Oasis. A huge shout out to them.
Oasis being
the New York State hub, if you will. They are like the, I guess you would say, capital of our all harm reduction.
Yeah, it's the Office of Substance Abuse Services.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I believe the main hub is in Albany, if I remember right.
Yes.
So, yeah, they are coming out with more and more ways. I just recently read they came out with an 8-milligram Narcan, which is double the strength of the previous one. And the amount of fentanyl and other additives that are going in these drugs, it's needed. I've seen people take up to 4 or 5 boxes of Narcan, and there's 2 doses in each box. So that just shows you the strength of some of these drugs.
Yeah. And just for people who don't know, Narcan is given to reverse an overdose.
Yeah.
Prevent
death.
Exactly
right.
Yeah.
So it will bring them out of it unless it's been too long. The person's already passed, unfortunately, which doesn't happen alone. That's the stigma right there. A lot of people feel that they can't be open about their drug use, that they're less than human because they do drugs. Mm-hmm. So they isolate.
Yeah.
And when they overdose, there's no one there. No one knows it's happening. And that's where a lot of the percentage of deaths come from.
Now, Jason, you have had your own experience with addiction and substance use disorder. So you're speaking from personal experience as well about how difficult this is and how problematic the stigma is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what I mean when you ask, how are things shaping? The need is growing for all substance use resources. When I was in active use almost 11 years ago, I had no idea about any of these services. Mm-hmm. So I tried a few different things like alcohol and drug counseling, which I did graduate from, and MAT, medication-assisted treatment. And they both helped. But like we said before, it's not the same for everyone. So while I was able to do those two things and then self-isolate for a year and not talk to any of those past people who either used with me or got the drugs for me, I was able to recover completely.
Yeah.
But that's not the same for everyone.
Yeah.
So the need for resources are great. I know legalizing marijuana was a huge step in the right direction because a lot of people do use that as harm reduction. And I know harm reduction is a tight topic between different people. It can mean many things, but it's really just allowing a person to have what they need to stay alive until they are ready to recover in their own time.
And so say a little bit more about how cannabis helps.
So cannabis helps many people, especially cancer people or people with illnesses. But if it's someone struggling from drugs, a lot of times that one thing, that marijuana and maybe medication-assisted treatment also keeps them from craving the drugs that were ruining themselves, ruining their lives. So it's kind of like it was a smart move. I know it's frowned upon in certain towns, but it really does keep people from doing the drugs that are killing them.
And giving them endocarditis and giving them hepatitis and giving them other kinds of conditions. And the whole idea behind harm reduction is you meet the person where they're at and you help them to take small steps to get where they need to go in recovery.
Absolutely.
And I have a family member with personal experience, and I believe that approach saved this person's life, my family member's life, because it was not about just saying you got to quit. It was around how do you reduce your risk? And then gradually when this person was ready, they got into treatment. I think it's been a year now since they self-withdrew from Suboxone, which is really difficult.
Very.
In fact, the person had, I was really concerned about it because they had tried to do so in the past and had ended up going back on to drugs because they weren't successful. And I really encourage people to do it under medical supervision, which is one of the things that Reach Medical does very well. They will work with you to help withdraw, get off of the Suboxone, because that itself is your body gets used to it. Your body needs it. And so you don't just, you don't just stop that. You want to taper it for the most part under medical supervision. So I'm very proud of my family member for being able to do that. And they're doing very well. Yeah.
That's amazing news.
Yeah.
It really is. And that's not an easy achievement for anyone who's gone through it. They know that's like, it's like going through hell, to speak bluntly.
Yeah.
But you are right. Tapering the Suboxone or methadone too fast can cause the actual opposite of what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
You get very sick, and it's very similar to heroin withdrawal, which, if I could put it in layman's terms, is like having the flu times 10.
Yeah.
You can't control your bowels. You can't control your mind. And this is what leads to a lot of crime.
Yeah.
When people are trying to either find drugs or not do them, but they're so sick that they're just driven to do something they would never do.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part about it. They would go steal, do whatever they need to steal better.
Well, so one of the things that has been a challenge in our region has been getting the actual treatment and medication-assisted treatment. In the past, recent past, Somati was awarded a grant, I believe, from OASIS, a mobile van that will come to Northwestern Ulster County and Delaware County, and you're leading the work on that van. So tell us about the services that are going to be provided on this van.
So, yes, it's actually, I'm really, really excited. Right now, the van is in progress of being customized. So, basically, it'll be a comfortable type setting. We want it to feel like an office of sorts. So, there'll be couches, a wraparound couch, a few spinning chairs. We will have a licensed social worker on board. We have Wi-Fi and hotspot on board.
Great.
So that... Yeah, we actually have a TV in the van. So if someone is looking for MAT, medication-assisted treatment, they could go in the van and privately speak to our provider, Maya Hambright, and receive medication via telehealth.
Great.
Which is pretty amazing, being able to go to the person, because a lot of times, like you know, transportation is a huge issue in this county.
Yeah. And how do you deal with the broadband issues?
Yeah, that's going to be a challenge. We're still trying to work on that. So if we can bring the van to a certain spot that can ping off another hotspot, we're going to try that. It's really a learning process, to be honest with you. Route 28 from, I'd say, almost Saugerties to Pine Hill, there's a blank spot where there's no service.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. So a lot of what we do... is data for OASIS. We have to report on pretty much everything you can imagine. So in that sense, if we're in that dead zone, we're going to be doing it via paperwork.
Mm.
And then when we get service, uploading it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll also have one or two KSATs on board. The social worker, like I said, his name's Simon Abramson, and he's an amazing guy. He cares about everyone. He'll be on board, two Serpas, and we're really just going to try to be where we can. We're creating a Facebook page to be able to let people know where we're going to be, or possibly hotspots where people are known to be using and dying. If we can, we'll pull up there and park, and hopefully people will come to us.
Mm.
It's going to be a lot of word of mouth in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and posting social media to try to get the word out there, as well as to come to known events that we know are happening in the county, to be able to, you know, help people, provide resources in any way we can.
Mm-hmm.
We actually recently met with, I can't remember her name, so forgive me, a lady who's been running a outreach and engagement services van like we are, in New York City, and they've been finding numerous ways. It's really learning as you go. Sometimes you park, people come to you, other times you go to them. So we do got a little bit of work ahead of us, but we're very excited because Delaware County hasn't really had anything like this from what I know.
So
I mean,
let me just remind listeners that you're listening to Health Center in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20, as well as on the campus of SUNY Delhi, where Jason has been many times, 107.5 FM. Yeah, you're doing some good work there with the students there and helping and faculty in terms of teaching them about substance use disorder and doing Narcan training for them.
Absolutely.
And of course, everywhere at WIOXradio.org. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program, and I'm talking with Jason Tompkins, the SERPA for Somati, who is leading work on a new mobile van that will be coming to our region at some point. Do you have any best guess about when that might be?
So last I heard, out.
I'm sorry, say that again.
We're trying to make it. Oh, sorry. If I cut out, just let me know. Yeah. Last I heard, we're about 2 weeks out from having it ready. So we're doing like the final touches. We're putting a wrap on it that has our logo as well as a QR code. So if someone's just right there and perhaps they don't want to talk to us, they can scan that code and find more about what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. And so they should, do you have the information on the Facebook page? Because I suppose that'll be the way that you'll let people know when you're in their region?
Actually, we are creating that right now. So we have a team dedicated to that. And yeah, I'm actually really excited about it. I feel it's a giant need. Like we said earlier, people are struggling everywhere and not a lot of people know about services. So hopefully this is another avenue. And of course, if someone needs us, if someone calls us, we'd be willing to go to them, which is another huge step in the right direction.
Yeah. Well, it's really exciting, and you're going to have to send me more information to let our listeners know when and where you will be. And I want to have you come back and tell us how things are going at another time. But
excellent. I was hoping you said that, because once I get more details, I'd like to come back.
Absolutely. So just before we end here, in the past couple of months, Samadhi's been in the news. I was out of the country for a little while, but right before I left, there were some newspaper reports that there were two Ulster County legislators who were calling for the county to pull back its money for Samadhi. And I really felt it had to do with two things. One was that people don't understand harm reduction and what it's about.
Yeah.
There was one issue around the recovery housing, and that's very complicated, but it's so essential. They don't understand, I think, why this is so important. The other was, I think Samadhi has grown so fast, and I think it's because they do such good work. And I know for the Catskills Pathways to Recovery, we are partnering with them in any way we can because their work is so good. And so they've been stretched to the max. And so there have, I think, been a few operational issues that they're getting together, but it's not a reason not to support this organization. But I'm interested in what the official take is on what these news reports had to say.
Well, I'm glad you said that. You couldn't have said it better. I mean, it really is. Not everyone understands harm reduction. Some people, and I understand this, I really do. Some people look at it as a way of enabling.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't look at it that way, because if we do, the only result is death.
Yeah.
When people are shunned because they're still using or... You know, you have to be patient with these people, because sometimes it's gradual. Sometimes they'll stop shooting drugs and they'll start smoking it, which is a huge step in the right direction. Harm reduction is fairly new, so not everyone really gets it. But yes, Samadhi has been in the news in Ulster County. I believe there is a lack of education around harm reduction. Part of Samadhi's mission is to educate the public. This includes the county and the legislature, on harm reduction and Samadhi's practices. With the tremendous current growth, we need to remember to inform and educate the public so there's a clear understanding as Samadhi's work saves lives. And because harm reduction is not fully understood by all yet, it is a controversial topic that is being discussed. This is a good thing. Samadhi receives a percentage of funds through Ulster County. When Samadhi was first started by David McNamara, the executive director, it was a vision and his personal bank account. As Samadhi has grown and now implemented policies, we have learned how to better document our funds and will continue to do so as the organization continues its incredible and hard work throughout all the counties we provide these services for.
Yeah. It's a really huge asset of an organization, and I think this is not the time to withdraw support. It's the time to provide more support.
I agree.
So, and I can't speak enough about the organization and David McNamara, so, and you.
Thank you, Hannah. You're amazing, too. And, you know, it really is. You know, like you had mentioned, the expanding is the key. The more people, the more boots we have on the ground, the more lives we can save.
That's right. And remember, the lives we're saving are your friends, your neighbors, the children in your community, the people who work in your businesses, and us. You know,
exactly.
You know, whether your addiction is caffeine or cigarettes or heroin, addiction is not easy, and it's not a flaw in a person's character. These are substances that sort of take hold in your body and don't want to let you go. And they change your body's composition and makes it so hard to withdraw. So we need to come from a place of compassion and support for people rather than the stigmatizing that drives people away and into the shadows.
And that is the key. Yeah, that is the key. Thank you for saying it. I couldn't have said it better. That's it right there, you know. And a lot of these substances, some of the harder ones, actually change your brain chemistry, which, you know, people end up doing things, like I mentioned earlier, they wouldn't normally do, or they feel completely isolated and there is no help.
Or they were prescribed. Or they were prescribed OxyContin, got addicted, and then, you know, have to experience the shame when it was not their choice. It was brought upon them by the healthcare system.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. Mine wasn't OxyContin, but it was a painkiller from a football injury. And I took it and took it for months and months. And then I think they just came to a point, the doctor came to a point where he's like, that's enough. And my body said, nuh-uh. I was so sick that I started looking to the streets, and one thing led to another, and I was in full-blown addiction within 6 months.
There you go. There you go.
So that's a perfect example of how prescriptions can lead to that.
Yeah. Well, as we close here, Jason, if somebody wants to get in touch with you or Samadhi, how do they do so?
Yeah, so people looking for help or details on current activities can call our outpatient center at 845-481-4728.
One more time.
And I'll say that. Yes. 845-481-4728. Or they can call me personally anytime, day or night. 607-267-2736. I'll say that once more. 607-267-2736. I can also...
Go ahead.
I can also be reached at my Samadhi email, JasonT@SamadhiNY.org.
And spell that.
Yes. JASONT@SamadhiNY.org. And then, of course, the other way is SamadhiNY.org. SamadhiNY.org. From there, you can go to a list of our calendars for events, contact pages for more contact information. And like I mentioned before, we will and are in the process of creating an outreach and engagement services Facebook page for the van to broadcast dates, times, locations where we will be.
Great. Jason Tompkins, SERPA, Certified Recovery Peer Advocate for Samadhi. Thank you so much for coming back on. It's always great to have you on.
It was my pleasure. I appreciate you having me.
All right, Jason. And send us the updates on where you're going to be with that van.
Absolutely. And I would love to come back on in a month or so.
We'll do it. Okay. It's a deal. All right.
Awesome.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Thank you.
His work is so important, and I'm deeply grateful that he's doing this work at Samadhi now. It's wonderful.